Hello, and welcome to Friends for Life, a podcast of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's National Mission. We're here to come alongside you as we journey through life under the cross. What does it look like to care for our neighbors in body and soul? How do we tend to our own body and soul? How can we speak up for life? And finally, how do we share the faith with the next generation? Join us as we have these conversations and learn together. We hope you'll stick around and be our friends for life.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm your host, Steph Nugebauer. Here with my guests, Pastor Krenz and Amanda Douglas. We'll be talking about the need for the church to care not only for these children in the foster care system, but also to care for their biological parents. Pastor and Amanda, welcome. Would you please introduce yourselves to our listeners?
Yeah, I'm Pastor Krenz. I'm happy to be here today. I serve at St. Paul's Lutheran in Columbia, Illinois, which is right across from St. Louis. So we're basically almost a suburb of St. Louis. I've been here a little over 6 years. I've been in the ministry about 30 years. And I'm very excited to be part of this particular ministry. Amanda Douglas came to me, and she'll clarify the exact dates, I think 3 or 4 years ago, concerning this possibility. And I'm happy to be part of it. My wife, Lisa, works for Concordia Publishing House. And I have two children myself. They're grown. One lives in Hickory, North Carolina, and the other lives in the Denver area. Colorado, Lone Tree, Colorado. So very, very excited about this ministry and excited to work with Amanda and others who are part of this.
My name is Amanda Douglas, and I am a mother of seven, a wife to my husband, and I am the founder and president of Eve's Restoration Ministries. And I grew up in St. Louis and moved to Illinois about 4 years ago, right near the church in East Carondelet, Illinois. And I'm really excited about the progress we've made so far and where we're going with this ministry. And it's just been a really exciting experience.
Wonderful. Well, I can't wait to get into the vision for Eve's Restoration Home. But first, I wanted to hopefully lay the groundwork, the foundation for why Christians should be invested in caring for these families, caring for these children in the foster care system. Pastor, maybe you could help us out in answering the question of how is foster care specifically a life issue? We often deal with life issues, which is a range and span of issues on our podcast, Friends for Life. And I'd like to know specifically how this falls into that kind of category.
Yeah, so life issues are about caring for our neighbor. And especially we are called to care for the least among us. And with the family as the foundation of virtually everything in life, if you want to deal with the issues at hand in our society, one of the best things we can do is raise our families and raise them in a safe and good environment. In the foster care system, a lot of these children are going to continue to go out and whether they're reunited with their parents. And we just want to make that as good as possible. A lot of times, the way this is a life issue, and this came up at one of our board meetings recently, it's specifically to women who feel like when they have children and maybe they have another pregnancy and they're in the foster care system, they don't feel like they have choices. Their choice feels like the one choice is to have an abortion or have this for their child. And it really came home to me in talking to an individual saying that part of this is giving them hope that there's a possibility that we can walk with them to get their own children back. And if they have another child, maybe to bring that child into the world. So I do think it gets at the very core of this. And it also gets at the core of serving our neighbor and foundational for creating a good society that we all want to be part of.
So we've talked about this in other podcast episodes, but the goal ultimately of the foster care system is reunification, so reuniting children with their biological parents. How does Christian involvement in this system and then in this end goal relate to our Christian understanding of God's plan for the family?
I see it as God's ultimate plan for the family in a perfect world would be one father and one mother coming together to create life in a nurturing, godly environment. But unfortunately, since our fall into sin, that doesn't happen all the time. But Paul says in a lot of his letters that we're adopted as sons through Christ, and uses a lot of restoration language. And just as foster care restores families together through reunification or also through adoption, like when I think of foster care, I think of the gospel and the connections that it makes to families and to Christ.
Yeah, I think helping women with the understanding of vocation, part of this is our Lutheran theology, and we'll probably get into this later, that helping them with the purpose of this environment is to help them in mind, body, and soul. And if they can get figured out in terms of helping them with understanding every aspect of their life and vocation, I think that can be very helpful in their moving forward with this and seeing their daily life. And one of the very intriguing things in this whole process has been Amanda's experience working in environments that were environments that had more of a prosperity theology. And that theology, she felt, and I know she can explain better than me, but it was very compelling for me, was not helpful. I even felt like this in doing prison ministry, that the theology of restoration, the gospel message, freeing people up at the very foundation, helps in every aspect of their lives. And I think with these women, it will be, and their families, very, very beneficial. But Amanda's got some background with this that I thought was very helpful of why we need something like this, that other, our evangelical friends and some of the more Pentecostal backgrounds are commendable, that they're seeking to do this more. But within our framework, our settings, our Lutheran settings, not as much. And we kept asking ourselves the question, well, why not? Why not? We were looking for it. And if this is the starting point to help bring this about, we think we have something to offer here.
Yeah, in terms of the homes that I had worked in the past for addiction and depression and eating disorders and things like that, having this false gospel intertwined in with their care was very concerning for me. And so that was when I had started researching different organizations and the LCMS and kind of asking around, like, do we have any program for women or men or anything like this? And I didn't really find much of an answer. So when we went through this process, Pastor Krenz and I, of just researching, just in general, this topic of this need in our community, we had stumbled upon the foster care community and how these mothers just had not as much care or thought as other populations. And so really going with that and realizing that, me being a mother myself, that we could help these women and tell them the true gospel and help reunite families. And that was kind of where that started.
Explain to me and our listeners what you mean by coming from, you know, a place of prosperity gospel and caring for these women, and then the Lutheran theology, how that changes the way that you serve these women.
So in the homes, I really love to talk individually with each of the women, you know, kind of after we do Bible study or after classes or things like that. And the same pattern that I heard was just like this burden of them telling them that they're free in Christ now, and them saying that they believe in Jesus, but they did all these things wrong, and they just feel like this burden on their conscience and all this pressure that they need to do the right thing for God so that he'll bless them and keep them on the right path. And if they don't, then they'll be punished. And kind of that whole tone, and kind of how they can help heal themselves if they just believed strong enough. And it really made me want to especially implement in our program confession and absolution by LCMS pastors, private confession, and really emphasizing that, because even if, you know, they hear the gospel and they believe, that conscience, that burden on their conscience when they've done so many things that, you know, weren't godly, they could have that burden lifted. And I think that's very important. And that was something that I really felt was lacking in the two homes that I had worked in.
And just as my experience as a pastor, I have found it very, very difficult to find, for people that are struggling with foster home things, but even addiction issues or whatever, finding Christian homes or places where they can, it's first hard to access that. And then to find places that are good quality that you can get help with it. It's just very, very difficult. And we've heard from people who have tried numerous different homes, not maybe on the foster home issue, but on addiction issues. Just finding a good solid place is really difficult. And so part of this process is our understanding of mind, body, and soul working together with all of that. We really do see that there's a need for this out there.
I agree. So please explain what the goal, the vision of Eve's Restoration Home is. It's my understanding that this is currently a vision that is coming to life, but is not currently open to women and their children as of yet. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. So we're still in the startup process, and we plan to open in 2028. So we kind of have had this longer runway so that we could do thorough research and then go into another phase of really finding a board and committee members that are passionate about this issue of pro-life, foster care, bio moms, addiction, all of the things, and really focusing on professionals and those with this type of experience. And then from there, really building awareness of the need and building awareness of the organization so that when we do open, it's a big endeavor and we'll really need those monthly supporters and the yearly supporters. But definitely in our research, we talked to a lot of different CEOs, and the thing that kept coming up was really emphasizing monthly donors. And in the beginning right now, a lot of people are excited, but if you're trying to run a home and have staff and food expenses and electric bills and all those things, 5 years from now, if you're running dry on money, that can really be a problem. So really building that donor base. And I've been asked by someone, like, if somebody just gave $2 million today, would you open immediately? And I said, no, I don't think so, because that money could run out and you really need that steady flow so that we really have a structured program and can keep it going, you know, and be able to serve as many women as we can.
So I think the idea is initially to do a home for about 3 to 6 women with a building that would be in near one of the vicinities of our churches, could be near St. Paul's. And then there would be a staff that would be part of it. And maybe, Amanda, you can speak more specifically to that staff. I think the whole process here is the long-term approach. There's no easy fix for any of these problems in these situations. But I think that the persistence, the long-term in planning, doing it the right way. And then once we get the home started, not only helping the women and the families at the home, but also follow up afterwards. Really, that's, I think, one of the real set apart things is our intention to follow up afterwards with this. And then the involvement, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, a little bit later, the involvement of our churches within that environment. So just adding a few things to what Amanda said.
Thanks. So if I can, let's back up a little bit. We have had episodes that kind of explain how families enter the foster care system, how children are temporarily removed from their parents, and the goal being to reunite them after their parents have met certain criteria or goals set for them by the court. But help me understand, we have 3 to 6, potentially, moms whose children have been removed from them to be placed in the foster care system, or do they come into this home with their children? How did they get to enter your home?
Yes. So our plan is to have mothers who their children are in foster care, so there wouldn't be any children in the home, so that we can really help them with their issues, because on a lot of their goals and checklists, they may have like a rehab program and that they have to attend. So our plan is to have the program be between 3 and 12 months, depending on their needs. And if they have to go to a rehab program for, you know, 3 months, why not be something tailored to their needs and helping them get through their checklists and make goals for their life and figure out from there. And if they need a little extra care in finding housing and jobs, then they would stay for 12 months. And our program would kind of be a stepping stone for these women because they couldn't reunify with their children while they were in our home, but they could get the resources that they need. And so when they jump into their own place, they can have a safe environment for their child, and we can come alongside them in the process all the way through after they leave our home with the aftercare to prevent reentry and to kind of help them fully reunify.
So this is not a replacement for the rehab programs that they would need to enter, or necessarily any way to address why their children were taken from them. Is that correct?
So we're still working on program details, but the programs that I worked in were similar to kind of like what we would set up. So if we get to partner with the courts and they say that they can come to our program and that would be part of their checklist, then that would be a goal of ours to do so that it's helping them with their checklist while they're in our home and in our care. And so it would be an environment after their detox, because these are kind of like transitional homes to break habits. And so when they go into like a detox program, then they're fully off of whatever substances they're on, and then they can come into the home and learn new habits and kind of be in a bubble environment for a few months in order to work through some of their issues. But since not all mothers might not have that issue, it could be a range of issues. We kind of want to tailor the program to each mother. And the second home I worked at, they had women together with all kinds of different issues. And I appreciated that because they had a lot of structure and a lot of rules, and it really kept things in place so that they could do the same program, but it could be tailored to their specific needs as far as rules and habit breaking and things like that. And so this idea of having a bunch of women with multiple different issues in a home, I think it could be doable in that sense. So just tailoring it 3 to 12 months, depending on what that particular mother needs and what their particular goals with the courts are.
Let me add that there's a dream with this whole thing. We're calling it Eve Restoration Home, but also Eve Restoration Ministries. The dream is that down the road, there would be homes for people dealing with eating disorders, homes for people dealing with drug and alcohol rehabs. Now, that's down the road, but that's an overarching dream that this format could be used to lead into something like that down the road.
Why is it called Eve's Restoration Home or Eve's Restoration Ministry? How does the name imply what your goal is?
So I had been thinking of names, and I landed on Eve because she was the first mother, the mother of all living. And I kind of joke that she made a mistake in the beginning, although, you know, Adam was in on that too. But that, you know, mothers make mistakes. And ultimately, the two part to the name is restoring mothers with their children, but also helping to restore the relationship between those mothers and children and God through Christ and through the Holy Spirit. So kind of twofold in the name, restoring to God and restoring to family.
I am assuming that with the name Eve's Restoration Ministries, that you are specifically tailoring your services and your programming to the women. What kind of help would there be for the father that might be involved? If this is a married couple, what might that look like?
In the beginning, we were trying to just narrow down our focus on the mothers, but we have definitely talked in our meetings about having things for the fathers as well, the ones that may need help. But since we had to start somewhere, we're focusing on the moms. But as we develop our program, since it's not at that stage yet, we are going to talk and discuss about how to include the fathers and other family members as well.
Part of our research was there was such a broad way that we wanted to help people, and Amanda wanted her vision to help people, that everybody said, you really need to narrow this down to a particular people. And we found that in our area where we're at, the second highest group of women are in foster care, children in foster care in the state of Illinois, is in our area. So it really helped us to kind of see, okay, we can help in that area specifically tied to this.
Wonderful. You had the pastor that the hope is to have this building in close proximity to a Lutheran congregation. So the goal would be, as you said, care for these women in body, mind, and spirit. And that's done with the programming that you offer, but also the proximity to word and sacrament ministry. So how would it look if St. Paul were to be that congregation that was in close proximity? What would the involvement of your congregation or your pastoral care be?
Yeah, and I appreciate that question. I think the one of the things we have at our congregation right now is a food pantry that really does serve a number of people on a regular basis. And so our congregation's used to doing a ministry out towards the community that's connected to that. Well, a couple things. One would be the Lutheran pastors would be regularly going in our area, in our circuit. The hope is they would take a turn on a regular basis, going in, doing Bible study, confession and absolution on that end. Secondly, giving rides to maybe to a job in the area, giving rides to church. So having ways that we could give rides to church. A third way that could help is just keeping the building up. So having a committee that would be in charge of just making sure that the building and the structures are there and we have enough things for the kitchen and the living room, all kinds of just material things that our people could be involved with there. You have to be a little bit careful because there's some boundaries that are created with what, and Amanda could speak to this more about how connected lay people can be with these situations and with the people. But I think there's a lot of leeway within that this could be a way that we could really specifically help. And I might add too that one of the ways I think in thinking of these ministries that might be helpful is to think of it in terms of the body of Christ and the least among us and how they're absolutely essential for the church and for the life, that we assume that many of these women and their families will be Christian, maybe struggling in a lot of areas of life, as all Christians do, but that we will gain also from our interactions with the body of Christ, and that when Paul writes about the least being the most significant, taking it from that approach as opposed to this idea that, you know, we're standing up high and we're doing a great things, pat us on the back type of thing, but that we will learn and grow also from their life and their faith and work in that setting. So just an extra thought there.
Absolutely. My final question is, when thinking about foster care and the foster care system, we've talked in other episodes how children are often the main focus of the foster care system and how it's structured. How is Eve's Restoration Home or Eve's Restoration Ministries a bit different in that it shows compassion and care specifically for these moms?
Yes, because we're going for the angle of the mother, we're focusing on the main point of foster care initially is reunification and emphasizing that we really do want to have reunification into safe families, that we will create an environment for these women so that they can thrive and have their children back. And also how we just discovered that there's a limited amount of resources for biological families and how is the system going to improve if there's limited resources for them. And we believe it's through care and compassion on the biological family members and starting with them and helping them, because I've heard many people say that the process is very overwhelming. Caseworkers are very swamped. So it's kind of like your children are taken and then here's a list of the things you need to do and go do them. And so if you don't have the support or the structure or those kinds of things, how really are you going to cope or how are you really going to help in restoring these families? So we think that children deserve a safe and nurturing home. And if it can be with their biological family members, studies have shown that that's the best place for them. And adoption is wonderful. And we really appreciate foster care and all of those things. But until I went through this process of research, I never really thought about the mothers because I hadn't really heard much about it, because I've donated to foster affiliate organizations and just heard about foster care and foster children and foster parents and all that. And then not until this process, I thought, where did the children come from? Like, I never really thought about that. And then once you really dig into it, it's like, wow, They really need some help here. So that's our goal with this ministry, is to really help them and then help them reunite with their children.
So if I'm sitting here in Paragould, Arkansas, Northeast Arkansas, and I'm not really in proximity to where Eve's restoration home will be, I'm listening and I'm thinking, this is a wonderful vision, a wonderful idea. I'd love to be able to serve and partake in some way. How could listeners pour into this ministry or care in their local areas for these mothers? What are some ideas that you might have? Because unfortunately, we don't have two Eve's restoration homes. We don't have an Eve's restoration home in each state, of course. So how can our listeners be involved?
Yeah, so our board has been brainstorming a lot of different ideas for how people can be involved. But of course, through prayer and then monthly support and really building awareness. And the more that we get the word out there about it, the more funding we can get in the future and the more it can expand. And so we've also thought about different ways that different groups could probably get involved as we get closer to opening. But as far as now, we have on our website, we have ways to sign up for our contact lists and be updated on our ministry and those kinds of things. So at this point, since we're still a startup, funding is a big thing, and prayer and just awareness and getting the word out is the best way to help now. But there'll definitely be a lot of ways in the future.
You know, I think if people don't want to give, it's specifically to this organization or it seems so far away. And I do think one thing we want to do is make sure that it's for people. It may not just be people in the metro area, St. Louis area and so forth. It might be from all over. That's the kind of sense. But, you know, part of it is just an awareness of this is a system that's just overwhelmed. It's swamped. And, you know, we haven't talked about this much, Amanda, but I'm sure if there are ways to help within your communities of just being aware. There's all these groups of people that we just don't see because we don't encounter them on a daily basis. I was absolutely stunned at how many in our little area are in foster care and dealing with this situation from both mothers and children. And so if this can cause an awareness in your own community of how prominent this is and how overwhelmed some of the people in this industry are, not industry, a better term than that, but how overwhelmed they are in working in social work for them. And there's got to be places of weight we can help on individually for these families. So if it brings that awareness and it helps you serve your neighbor where you're at, God bless you.
Thank you. So how can our listeners follow along on this journey with you as you start up Eve's Restoration? Where can they find more information?
So we have a website, evesrestorationministries.org. And we also have a Facebook page by the same name and an Instagram, Eve's Restoration Home, and a YouTube. So, yeah. So we're just really trying to get our name out there at this point. So lots of different avenues to get information.
I think you can sign up for a newsletter. We try to send out a newsletter 4 times a year, and we can get that information. We're still looking for names to have that on. And so we try to keep people informed. Sending out a prayer, is that once a month? Do we do that, Amanda? Or
yeah, that's each season. So we just send out our spring prayer list. I just wanted to share our mission statement as well. So it's to provide parenting resources and Christ-centered spiritual care in a residential setting to mothers whose children are currently in foster care, empowering them to rebuild and reunite their families. So really emphasizing that rebuilding and reuniting of their families and empowering them to do that is really what we want to emphasize.
It's beautiful.
And I'll just say one thing. I think the caring for children in schools obviously tugs at heartstrings for people. Sometimes it's more challenging to care for people who've made mistakes in raising their own families. Why should we help them? We're trying to go into this with eyes wide open that this is a kind of a more challenging type ministry to give to, because the success rate and the results are not as visible as if you're helping children and you start a school or that type of thing. So, but that's all the more reason, I think, to be of help there. But we know it's a challenge, a big challenge. set before us. But our Lord can work with it, and he's been part of the whole process. So,
yes, and I think that sometimes people forget that children grow up, and if they fell through the cracks, unfortunately, as a child, they grow up to be adults, and it's important to try to help them as well. And many people will be surprised with how similar they are to each of us, that, you know, they're just people. They're just mothers. They're just addicts or prison inmates, whoever they are. It's interesting to see how they are very similar to each of us, and that they deserve the same care and compassion as, you know, the baby in the womb or the grandmother with dementia. So,
yes, well, you summarized really the Christian vocation in caring for all neighbors, and the spectrum of life issues are not confined to life in the womb, but we also care for these mothers who are often unseen in the hardships that they face, but also very much needed to receive care and mercy from the church, the local church. Thank you. Thank you so much for being my guests, Pastor and Amanda. It was a pleasure.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks for having us.
And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review, and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at LCMS Life. And finally, listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you have an idea about a guest you'd like to hear from or a topic you want talked about? Email us at friendsforlife@lcms.org. We want to hear from you about what you want to hear about when it comes to issues of life.
Thanks for joining us. Friends for Life is a podcast that discusses the life God has given and the people he has called you to serve, right where you are in God's mission.